It's Central Time. I'm Keely Boltina in for Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, employment is down. So why is it so difficult for some people to find jobs? We talk with a reporter who's trying to answer that question. First, though, planning a trip requires a lot of work. Finding a place to stay, maybe flights to book, and of course, maybe most importantly, figuring out what to do when you finally get there. Our next guest has some advice on that. He says, go to the places that give you a sense of wonder. Dylan Thuris is the co-founder and creative director of Atlas Obscura. He's also the co-author of the newly updated second edition of Atlas Obscura, an explorer's guide to the world's hidden wonders. Dylan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me here.
What is it about the weird or these hidden wonders of the world that keep you captivated?
So the thing that kind of started me on this entire path is actually a place in Wisconsin. I grew up in Minnesota, and I would take these long road trips with my parents. And on one of these trips, we stopped at the Corn Palace in South Dakota and Waldrug, and we went to a place in Wisconsin that most people from the state know well, called the House on the Rock in Spring Green. And the House on the Rock is this incredible collection of unusual objects and enormous sculptures. It's a place that takes about 5 hours to walk through, and inside has a squid fighting a whale the size of the Statue of Liberty. It has the world's largest indoor carousel. And it as a 12-year-old, my response to seeing the House on the Rock was basically, if this is what's in the woods in Wisconsin, what am I missing in the world? And so it sort of started me on this path of seeking out places of wonder and amazement. And I still am sort of chasing that sense of amazement and surprise that I had as a kid at the House on the Rock.
And I have to say, thanks for mentioning South Dakota off the bat, too, because I'm here in Wisconsin, but I grew up in South Dakota. So we're connecting all of the dots here
Yes.
among us today. But that is part of the beauty of the book, right? And of the work that you do is you can kind of find something unique anywhere and make those connections. You draw those lines between people and places.
That's right. One of our big, sometimes people talk about us as a travel organization. And in a sense, that's true. But for me, travel includes your own backyard. It includes within, 50 miles from you. Because I think a lot of what a really great travel experience is, it's about finding something that surprises you, finding something that has an incredible story that then you take back with you. You can travel the whole world and basically see nothing new. You could travel around the globe and go to the same Starbucks and stay at the same chain hotels. And it's only when you kind of get out of that mode and you start visiting these odd little museums and these outsider art projects that you end up coming home with really great travel stories and experiences and really learning about the place that you're actually in.
Sometimes, though, it's kind of hard to push yourself past the interstate, past the things that are familiar to you, though.
It absolutely is. And I think for everyone, you develop this kind of locals blindness. You become sort of inured to the wonders that are around you. So maybe you know that there's some interesting museum, but it's a 20-minute drive and you're going to get there at some point. And I think it's really nice to give yourself permission to explore your own town or city like a tourist would do. Just don't be embarrassed about doing kind of all of these maybe cheesy things that actually could turn out to be fascinating. And I love the feature on Google Maps that lets you turn off highways. I actually think that's a nice shortcut to finding new and interesting little locations.
Oh, you do that?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, it depends. If you're
Fair.
Going on a long trip, it can add a lot of time. But
right.
Yes, it is a nice thing to try and at least do when you can.
All right. And speaking of Spring Green, Wisconsin, we have a listener who commented on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Bob said one amazing place visited is the so-called Wisconsin Desert outside of Spring Green. The Spring Green Prairie is made up of forest and bluff and dunes. So what a fun connection already that we've made here in this conversation. Dylan Thuris is the co-founder of Atlas Obscura, and we're talking about now the second edition of a book that pulls together these quirky sites from around the world. And if you've got a site you love to go to or a question about one of the Atlas Obscura points, landmarks, call us at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Dylan, this is an update to the initial book that you put out. How did you go about expanding it and finding new things? I mean, the first one is pretty exhaustive.
It is and it isn't. I mean, you know, there really isn't an upper limit, or we're very far from hitting the upper limit of kind of these hidden wonders in the world. Our site has 20,000 places around the world in it. And in fact, distilling it down to 700 was a real challenge. You really had to leave things out that, in fact, you thought, God, I don't want to cut that. It's so wonderful. And we knew when we published the first book in 2016 that we would want to update it on a relatively regular basis, because sometimes things change or they close, but because we would be finding these new little delights that we wanted to put in the book. And so that's how we went about updating it. And the truth is that the book is really a distillation of our work. It's kind of the best, but the amount of places could never really fit into a published book. It is lucky that the internet is there to hold this expanse, because there's no single number of these things. It seems to be a nearly limitless amount.
Okay. And if it's limitless, though, how do you choose? Is it like picking a favorite kid?
Yes, it is like picking a favorite kid. So here are two places in Wisconsin that are not in the revised book, but are wonderful. So there's a place I've been to in Athens called the 45 by 90 geographical marker. It's actually in the middle of nowhere. It's just a sign. And it points out that you are standing at the intersection of 45 by 90 latitude, longitude. And there are only four places in the world where these two latitude and longitudes happen to intersect. And not all of them are on land. So this is it. It's a kind of arbitrary thing, but it has its own specialness. And you go, and then if you go into town, you can get a little marker, a little coin they give you to commemorate your visiting to this unique latitude and longitude location. And that's just a delightful little place that we had to sort of leave out of the book. Or the Sputnik crash site, where Sputnik 4, when it was basically coming out of the sky, you know, the Soviet Union launched a number of Sputniks, actually. It landed in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. It crashed in Manitowoc. And in fact, there's a tiny metal ring that you'd walk right past and wouldn't look at twice. But that is what marks where this Soviet satellite crash landed in 1962. And those are wonderful places. But, you know, compared to the House on the Rock or Dr. Evermore's Forevertron, we decided that those were not going to make it. We were going to focus on the ones that really we thought delivered just the maximum amount of surprise and amazement.
And Dr. Evermore's Forevertron did make the book. It's in North Freedom, Wisconsin. Why did it make the cut?
Because he is just a genius. He was a salvage expert. You know, he would go and do demolition on buildings, and then he would sort of pull out these pieces of them that he thought were beautiful, big pieces of machinery, large pieces of metal, and he would start to sculpt them together into new creations. And in doing this over a period of decades, he built what sort of feels like a Victorian spacecraft launch site. It is this sort of weird retrofuturistic kind of feel to it. And he's one of these kinds of outside artists who gets an idea in his head, sets about building it, and ends up making a place that is truly unique in the world. There's nothing quite like Dr. Evermore's Forevertron.
And is that kind of one of the ways that you find the wonder when you walk in and you just feel like there's nothing else like this here?
That is absolutely right. And somewhat it's about him, too. He calls himself Dr. Evermore. His given name is Tom Every. And he is an interesting, wonderful person. And so if you go to this place, there's often a chance that you'll get to meet him and talk to him about why he created these great, enormous kind of scrap metal spacecraft. And that's part of the joy of it, too, is meeting interesting people who've devoted themselves to something singular.
We're talking to Dylan Thuris. He's co-founder of Atlas Obscura, and he's with us talking about new additions to a book that's an extensive rundown of the world's hidden wonders. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What's a weird or maybe a kooky place that you've been to, maybe a place that you love that fills you with wonder? That could be anywhere around the world, far away, here in Wisconsin, maybe right in your own backyard. What places do you have on your list that are must-sees? Call and share your story, 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation in just a moment. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about the draw of those eccentric places and enchanting experiences that we don't often see in a typical traveler's guide. Dylan Thuris of Atlas Obscura is our guide today, and we are welcoming your calls at 800-642-1234, wondering what your last adventure was and where you took it, what your favorite travel memory is, why some place is special to you. 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. And let's welcome Mike to the conversation now. Mike from Appleton, what would you like to say?
Hey there, guys. Since you opened it up to different places around the world, there's one place in particular that makes me think would be it is an awesome place to visit. I'm a graduate of Northern Michigan University, and just outside of Marquette, Michigan on M28, there is a sculpture garden called Lakenen Land. A gentleman named Tom Lakenen, he's a retired pipe fitter, has taken a bunch of scrap metal and made all sorts of different statues and art sculptures out of scrap metal. In addition to that, he's got a place you can have a picnic. You can there's a bandstand there if you want to have a little free concert. It's just an awesome place to visit, and especially in the well. There's a lot of places to visit up in the summer months, but that's one of them you shouldn't miss, and it's completely free.
Huh, very cool. Mike, thank you for that contribution. And Dylan, it sounds like it's a little bit like Dr. Evermore's Forevertron in that we're, able to walk among these sculptures.
Yeah, it does sound like that. You'll be happy to know that we do list Lakenen Land in Marquette, Michigan on the site. And yeah, it's one of these great self-made kind of sculpture gardens. And I think you could hear from the caller that there's just an excitement. There's a joy in being in a place that's maybe not perfectly polished. It's not it doesn't have all the bells and whistles of a sort of official tourist site, but it has so much character and heart. That is kind of the experience that I think most of us are looking for when we're traveling.
Right. And it may be close to home or perhaps far away. Eric from Kenosha, welcome to Central Time. What are you thinking when we're talking about these more obscure local sites?
Hi. Well, I guess it might not be that obscure, but we took a trip to Portugal about a year ago this time. It was definitely the off season, but we had very nice weather. And we rented a car and we drove from Lisbon all the way north up to Porto and Gaia. And then to the east through the Douro Valley and then south again down to the south end of Portugal. And everywhere we went, the beautiful scenery, old, the castles and that sort of thing. The food was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Every little place you go, they serve their own olive oil, their own olives. The bread is all made there and very reasonably priced. We stayed at just little apartments and bed and breakfast the whole time. Never a hotel, never a big hotel, and it was great. So that was my favorite place.
Eric, thanks for the call. Dylan, more on that theme of just getting out there and seeing what different places have to offer us.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting thing. It's not just that I think doing that is so satisfying for a traveler. I think it is. It feels much better than being crowded in with a bunch of other tourists sort of trying to fight to see something. It is genuinely better for the world. I mean, over-tourism is becoming a real problem in cities around the world, whether it's Barcelona or Venice. There are these places where it's become very unpleasant for tourists and locals alike, and I was happy to hear the note about off-season, because there are things that travelers can do, whether it's traveling in an off-season or just traveling outside. Maybe you can skip one of the things that feels like a bucket list thing. In fact, going to see the Mona Lisa is a terrible experience, but there are a ton of other incredible museums nearby that will give you a wonderful experience of art. And choose a different Da Vinci that you want to hunt down and get to know that painting. I just think sort of finding a little bit of a different lane to get in is so much better both for the traveler and for the place itself.
Dylan Thuris is a creative director for Atlas Obscura, and we're talking about the second edition of a book that pulls together quirky sites around the world. And we're also talking about why we're drawn to those sorts of experiences, why it's worth our time. Let's go ahead and go to Adam in Milwaukee. Adam, what are you thinking when it comes to these sites?
So my wife and I are big fans of Atlas Obscura, and as kind of one of our expressions of love for each other, we will intentionally design road trips for each other that go to the outsider art installations all over the state of Wisconsin and otherwise. And kind of from the inspiration of the types of sites you guys find, there's a specific site in Milwaukee that I want to share with you that's kind of an invention, I guess. It's called Firefly Mountain. It's on 124th and County Line Road, right at the very northwest corner of the city. And I call it Firefly Mountain because it's this incredible space that's a great habitat for fireflies and lightning bugs. It also happens to be a giant landfill. And it's kind of my own personal infatuation with this space. I bring friends out there all the time to look at, in the summertime, the hill, which is otherwise a giant pile of trash, come alive with fireflies.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that, Adam. Dylan, what do you hear there?
I hear something that I think is really central to what we do at Atlas Obscura. And first off, thank you for being a fan, and it's so sweet that you guys are taking each other on these Atlas Obscura themed trips. But one of the things I hear is that part of what makes travel special is about storytelling and kind of myth making. And a lot of what we actually go to see when we see a place is the story of that place. I use Plymouth Rock as an example, because what people often don't realize is that Plymouth Rock wasn't designated Plymouth Rock until 120 years after the Pilgrims had landed, and probably was never set foot on by a single one of them, and is in fact just a rock. And yet a million people still go look at it every year because of, hundreds of years of myth making about this place. And so we are also able to create myths about places. We are also able to build a place up into something truly special. And it feels like that is exactly what's going on with Firefly Mountain. That's a lovely story.
Let's stay in Wisconsin here with our next caller, John from Toma. Where do you want us to go with you?
Toma?
Yes, John from Toma.
Yeah, this is him. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
I wanted to bring up, mention that there's a lot of really neat stuff in Wisconsin to go see. And one thing in particular I wanted to bring up was St. Peter's Dome up in Ashland County, about 15 miles, I think, west of Mellon, Wisconsin.
And why do you love that place, John? Yeah.
It's a rock outcrop, and you have to hike in there. And, you know, you have to be in pretty good shape to hike up there. It's all uphill. And when you get up there, it's a big red, pink granite, I believe, outcrop. And you can, on a clear day, you can see Lake Superior from there.
You know? Wow. That sounds amazing. Thank you for sharing that piece of Ashland with us. Dylan, you know, we've been talking about some things that are made by human beings, but also there are these just breathtaking pieces of nature we might not find otherwise.
Yeah, and sometimes those little discoveries are really just the most sort of special. There's a place I've been wanting to go to forever that I haven't been in Wisconsin, which is the Apostle Island Sea Caves. I've seen photos of these things during a really cold winter when you can walk out to them.
Incredible,
on the ice. And
right?
Yes, they're just amazing. They're like something from a fantasy world. I would love to, I'm hoping to, you know, be there one day when it's, well, it'll be awfully cold, but I'm still hoping to be there one day when they're when they're frozen.
We will welcome you back home. No problem. just across the border.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and also bring on Adam from Green Bay then. Adam, what are you thinking in this conversation?
Yeah, I'm thinking about the Black River Bottoms, Seven Bridges area in La Crosse County. It's beautiful on summer days. Gets hot and muggy down there sometimes, but it's one of the only places you can find the Massasauga swamp rattler.
Wow. So you're not looking for a specific landmark, but a specific animal in this area.
A little bit of both.
Yeah, interesting. Huh, Adam, thank you for sharing that. Dylan, people finding really unique things in all different parts, all different kinds.
Yeah, the creature connection reminds me of a story that like hits home how much wonders can be in front of our eyes and we sort of have to be willing to see them, which is there's a great story of a woman who is living in Tennessee by the name of Lynn Faust. And she heard on the radio scientists talking about the only synchronous fireflies, the only fireflies that blinked on and off in unison were in Southeast Asia. And she thought, that's odd. I have grown up watching synchronous fireflies in my backyard. And she tracked on the scientists and told them. And sure enough, there was a species of synchronous firefly that lived in the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. And Lynn Faust herself went on to become an expert on fireflies. And these synchronous fireflies have become a huge attraction in the Smoky Mountains. In fact, many more people want to go see them, apply for a lottery to make space to go into the national park to see them during their blinking season. And I think it's just a nice example of kind of in the most literal way, wonders can be right in front of our eyes, and it kind of takes us actually being willing to kind of engage with them for them to come alive for the rest of the world.
You've taken reader suggestions for the last book. And is that still the case with your current Atlas Obscura book? And can we still contribute?
You can. So the whole thing started originally as a website in 2009. And you can go on and say, add a place. And then we will, those all come to us and we look them over. We review them. We do the fact checking and sort of normal journalistic work you need to do to make sure you've got the story right. And then we publish the ones that we think are great and really fit the Atlas. And I have to say, people get it right about 99 times out of 100. They really understand what we're looking for. So I welcome people's suggestions.
Wow. We just have a moment left, but what do you want people to get out of one of these experiences?
I want them to remember that the world all around them is a wondrous and magical place. And in fact, you don't have to get on a plane or go all over the world to find real bits of wonder. They are in your backyard. And all it takes is you getting up on a given Saturday or Sunday and making a little expedition out. You will be surprised how wonderful and delightful it can be to explore your own hometown.
Dylan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
That was Dylan Thuris, co-founder of Atlas Obscura, with us to talk about a new edition of the book, Atlas Obscura, An Explorer's Guide to the World's Hidden Wonders. I'm Keeley Boltina. You're listening to Central Time. The conversation continues here on the Ideas Network.